Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the New York Giants. This is the Giants Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Giants Wire editor Dan Benton.
All right, nothing like a long Labor Day weekend to get us ready for week one of the NFL season. Dan, how you doing, man? How's the weekend?
It was good. It was enjoyable. It was kind of busy, obviously, with practice squad changes, transactions, things like that. But we're all excited to get into week one of football. Some normalcy, finally.
There's always surprises, right, with, you know, these cuts when we get to a cut down day like Saturday with the NFL. And, you know, I think one with the Giants was linebacker Ryan Connolly, right? So let's talk about that one a little bit. But also, what other surprises when you looked at the final depth chart for the Giants going into week one?
Well, I think them, you know, letting go a lot of those receivers and then signing them to the practice squad was somewhat surprising. Obviously, they claimed a wide receiver who, you know, will step in and take over for Corey Coleman, who also got released, not as part of those transactions, but a little bit later on, which was a little bit surprising as well. Yeah, I think the one that really stands out above all others, Ryan Connolly. They obviously wanted to sneak him onto the practice squad, but it didn't quite work out that way. And it was sort of a startling release just because he had flashed before tearing his ACL last year, and he looked good in training camp this year. But, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
We're gonna talk a lot about week one. Obviously, Giants Steelers Monday night. This is the early Monday night kickoff, right? 7:15 Eastern time. The Giants are getting 5.5, which means they're underdogs in this game. I think that line is, you know, that line is interesting. I'm surprised because I just, when I look at this matchup, Dan, I think that I just feel like the Giants are in trouble. This is a really good Steelers team. This is a really good Steelers defense specifically. And when I look at Giants Steelers, I think the key matchup that comes to mind for me is this kind of unproven Giants offensive line. And even I saw on the Giants Wire, I think today, this morning, Joe Judge not willing to name his starter at center. He's still trying to figure out who's starting on this line. This is a group that, to me, seems like a little unproven, haven't played a ton of football together. Some of them haven't even played a ton of football. Tell me a little bit about this line and how it's kind of getting pieced together here as we go.
Well, I think one of the positives here is, because there are a lot of negatives, unfortunately, but I think one of the positives is that this particular offensive line, however it's ultimately pieced together, should be considered an upgrade, at least on paper, from, you know, offensive lines of years past, dating back to, you know, 2011, if you really want to go back that far. You know, who starts at center? Obviously, the question that needs to be answered this week. Judge is, you know, he's not willing to give it to Spencer Pulley or Nick Gates at this point. The unofficial depth chart says Nick Gates, and I'm kind of leaning in that direction. I think that's how it's going to go. You know, he's sort of a Swiss Army knife everyman. He can play multiple positions. He's, you know, he's taken to that like a fish to water. So there is some positives there. But you're right. You know, they're going up against the Steelers defense that's just quality all around, but specifically their outside linebackers, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree. You know, they're talented, and that's going to be a challenge for first year, you know, left tackle Andrew Thomas. On the right side, it looks like Cam Fleming is going to start. You know, he's a reliable, trustworthy kind of right tackle, but he's not really going to blow you away. You kind of look at him like, you know, sort of just an average asset, but, you know, he has familiarity with Joe Judge's system going back to their time in New England. You know, he started a Super Bowl, so, you know, there is some quality there. And then inside at the guard positions, you've got Will Hernandez, who sort of took a step back in his second year, but looked really, really good in training camp. And then you got Zietler on the other side, who is just a consummate professional, consistent kind of guy. You always know what you're going to get out of him. So it's a challenge going up against, again, a defense like the Steelers. But this particular offensive line, no matter what happens at center, does look a little bit better, and you should feel a little bit more optimistic about it than in years past.
Now we're going to dive in more into that matchup here coming up. But Dan, I did want to get your thoughts on the Giants defense, maybe specifically that corner back position. It seems like Joe Judge is kind of rotating guys. He said there may be a hot hand approach or a committee approach, right?
Yeah, that's a pessim. that's some pessimism right there if you're a Giants fan.
That's a little scary. Every team seems to have their top, you know, their top corner on the left side, and Joe Judge is talking about going with a committee.
Yeah, I've been covering the NFL for a long time, and you don't hear that very much. You don't hear about rotating, you know, cornerbacks and going with a hot handed cornerback. You really want to, you know, develop some consistency consistency there, not just for the player, but for the team and for the secondary specifically, because, you know, there's a lot of communication that happens in the secondary. You don't want to be rotating guys in and out constantly throughout the game. You want to, you know, get a guy who gets in there, gets into the flow, locks down the cornerback position. But unfortunately, that's just the situation the Giants are in right now. And, you know, early on, it looks like it's going to be second year cornerback Corey Ballantyne who's going to step in, you know, across from James Bradberry, which, you know, could be good or bad. He's a quality player. He looked decent at times as a rookie. He also struggled, you know, at times as a rookie. But as far as what they've got, he's the kind of the tenured guy there. He's got the most experience, which really, as far as being in this system, not NFL experience, which, you know, goes to show you how much of a patchwork unit it kind of is.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off, but you kind of see the committee approach on bad MLB bullpens, right? Not typically on an NFL defense going up against Ben Roethlisberger and a pretty good Steelers offense. But we're coming up on our Fantasy Minute by TheHuddle.com with Corey Bonini. And I think one, I don't know how many people are picking Golden Tate in their fantasy drafts, Dan, but he seems like he's nursing some type of soft tissue injury, maybe a hamstring. Do you think he is in danger of missing this game? What do you know about him right now?
Well, we won't really know much more until later this week, but it does seem minor. Judge has, you know, he said it's minor. Tate himself doesn't seem too concerned with it, but, you know, they're kind of coy on injuries. Obviously, they don't really want to talk about him. It's a big Judge thing this year, so
stunning.
The amount of information, yeah, that's you know, put out there is very limited. But he was practicing at the end of last week, so barring some sort of setback, he seems good to go to start at receiver, and apparently he's going to be returning some kickoffs.
I'll be back with Dan Benton, the editor of the Giants Wire website, right after this.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from TheHuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about three fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number one. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number one range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack. Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points respectively in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for two of his seven touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number one, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many gambles, and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
I think when you watch NFL football in September, regardless of the year, Tom, you see a degree of bad football out there in the field. Turnovers, penalties, some mental errors. You see some things within the flow and the operation of the game that isn't the way it looks later in the season. That's just the truth of the National Football League every year. Obviously, we're coaching to eliminate bad football, and that's, you know, my goal as a head coach. I don't know if this year would be any different. I can't turn around and say it's going to be better or worse, but I think September you always see your share of, you know, bad football as it turns up on tape.
Giants coach Joe Judge talking about what could be some bad football across the board here in the first month of the season as we enter this unprecedented 2020 season, Dan. No preseason games. You know, a lot of these teams, a lot of these players are going to be out there for the first time, and it could be a little sloppy. I think we've seen that in the college game a little bit. But, you know, speaking of potential bad football, I like I said earlier, I feel like the Giants are in some trouble, and specifically in some trouble with this Steelers defense, which was fifth in the NFL in yards allowed per game last year. They led the league in takeaways, and they led the league in sacks. So they're going to be all up in Daniel Jones's grill, and I'm just wondering how you think this second-year quarterback, how do you think he's going to handle this defense coming at him in week one without really seeing that real speed of the game in the preseason?
Well, I think you are going to see, you know, poor football across the board. I don't think it's going to be exclusive to the Giants.
No, maybe
a little bit sloppier than some. But as far as Daniel Jones goes, I don't think that's going to faze him at all. I mean, sure, he's going to get hit. I mean, that's just the nature of football, especially if you're a Giants quarterback. That's the nature of football. But, you know, he's he's cool hand Luke. Basically, he's just going to take his shots. He's going to get up. He's going to keep playing. He's like Eli Manning, you know, in that way. And I don't think it's really going to rattle him. I think the big key there is he's going to need to hold on to the football. Obviously, he's going to have to learn how to take those hits without putting the ball on the ground or, you know, rushing a throw or something like that. But that's just a part of development as a year two quarterback anyway. It's really going to be more about the offensive line, you know, the running backs picking up blitzes, picking up stunts, making sure that everything is sound in that regard. Unfortunately, without any preseason games, you know, getting thrown into the fire, that has a potential to be ugly. But at the same time, you know, you can look to the other side of the field and you know, they're sort of playing on the same coin as the Giants are. And, you know, they haven't exactly had preseason games or, you know, simulations or scrimmages any more than any other team has. So there's a potential for a lot of sloppy football on the field. But when it boils down to is that the Giants are learning new systems. They've got a new coach. It's a whole new era, the second year quarterback. There's a lot of kinks to work out early on. And, you know, they're certainly not getting the benefit by going up against a defense as talented and dominant as the Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing with Jones last year is he did have a little bit of a problem with fumbles, right? I think you just hit on it, Dan. And obviously the Steelers are one of the best in the league, not only getting to the quarterback, but taking the football away from the quarterback. So you hit on that, like ball security. It's not just interceptions. It's literally being able to hold on to that football and not give it away while these guys are coming after you.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week that Jones, you know, he put an emphasis on bulking up this offseason anywhere between 9 and 10 pounds. And the whole point of that was is to make sure that he was stronger at the point of contact. You know, how that translates, you know, remains to be seen. But the emphasis really is on, one, making sure that your internal clock is set. Two, knowing when to take a hit and when to try and get some yards or go out of bounds, which was a big issue for him last year, trying to cut back into the field of play, getting hit and losing the ball that way. So, you know, there are obviously some little things here and there that he spent the offseason working on, focusing on. Joe Judge has obviously been drilling in his head, Jason Garrett, the rest of the offensive coaching staff. So, you know, we saw a couple hiccups in the scrimmages, so we'll see where he is at this point in week one. Hopefully, obviously, better than last year at this point, somewhere further down the line. I don't expect it to be eliminated outright, but it could be, you know, a Lamar Jackson situation where, you know, he was a fumbling machine in his first year and then came back in year two and considerably cut down on that, which allowed the rest of his game to sort of take shape. And then obviously we saw where it went from there. I don't want to say it's going to be the same case with Daniel Jones, but he's a smart kid. He's a hard worker. He's really, you know, obsessed with being the best player he can be. So, you know, it's possible, and you know, we'll see right out of the gate. You know, he's going to get a real test. So we'll see where he's at.
No doubt. Is there anything about this matchup with the Steelers and specifically that you're looking at that you think is something that you want to highlight?
Honestly, I've been breaking down offense versus defense and specifically trying to look into the secondary. And there's no easy option for Jones and the Giants offense. There just isn't. The Steelers have Hayden and Fitzpatrick, and even, you know, their nickel cornerback, Mike Hilton, is arguably their best cover cornerback. There's no easy way to go there. So the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to rely heavily on Saquon Barkley, whether that be just pounding the ball up the middle or trying to get him loose on the outside. But also in the passing game, they're going to have to rely heavily on Barkley making some plays out of the backfield, maybe isolating Evan Ingram, you know, creating some advantages in that area. It's going to be a lot of their secondary, you know, skill position players that are going to have to step up, because I would not anticipate players like Tate, Sterling Shepard, you know, even Darius Slayton necessarily having big games against that secondary. So it's really going to be a Barkley Ingram heavy kind of offensive attack.
All right, thanks for hanging with us. Coming up next, we're going to take a closer look at the betting line for this week's game. Thanks for hanging with us here on the Giants Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast. And here's what you need to know about the week one matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is +145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at -176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. all-star underdog team, plus 145, locking that in week one, a big upset in NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to Bet Slippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Dan, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the Giants are 5.5-point underdogs for this game against the Steelers. I think that line feels like I think I like the Steelers to cover personally. I think that this is a good line for the Steelers. I don't know if Vegas is giving the Giants some credit for being at home in this game. That's something that's interesting to me. Like, are you getting credit for being at home like you typically would in a normal season, you know, with the fan restrictions and all that? I mean, I'm not sure, but I do like the Steelers to cover this line. And the over-under of 47.5, that's pretty high. That means that they think teams are going to, you know, the teams are going to score. But what do you think specifically about the line and the Giants' chances to cover this 5.5?
I'm not really much of a bettor, honestly, but it's tempting to take that line just because it just seems I can't see the Giants, you know, keeping it within a touchdown. Unfortunately, I just can't. I want to be optimistic. I want to believe that there's an opportunity to go out there and you know, pull up some upset. I mean, Jordan Rannon of ESPN actually this morning even said, you know, outright, he's picking the Giants to upset the Steelers, and it's just, you know, that's going out on a limb. You know, that's brave. I'll give him that much. I'm not going out there with him. I don't think the Giants are going to win. I don't think it's going to be a close game. I actually predicted a score of 31-17 in USA Today Sports Weekly this week. I'm going to stick with that, barring any changes over the next couple days. I think even that may be a little bit optimistic. We'll see. As far as home field advantage, that's curious for obvious reasons. No fans in the stands, so that's going to be an interesting sidebar to the whole game itself. I'm curious to see if defenses can hear the calls being made in the huddles and what that would mean for a team like the Giants. So it could actually get even more out of hand if that's the case.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Like, I think we're starting to see in like the NBA playoff bubble, we're starting to get used to it a little bit on that side, but we're not going to be used to it with football. It's going to look a little bit different, sound different. I'm really looking forward to that piece on Sunday and Monday for sure. So Dan, you may not be much of a bettor, but we got this on tape. 31-17 is your prediction. The Giants are not going to cover. So there we go. So now we have that on tape, and you can't take it back, you know. So I think with this game, if the Giants hang in there, if the Giants stay within a touchdown, if they find a way to have a chance to win this game at the end, good sign for the Giants, right? It's going to show some toughness. It's going to show that, you know, maybe they got something going.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if they go out there and play hard and keep the game close, if they do keep it within a touchdown, you got to consider that a win for Joe Judge and his crew. And that would really, you know, create a whole lot of optimism going forward this year, because if they can go in and hang with the Steelers, a great team, potentially a Super Bowl caliber team, in week one after no preseason, new schemes, new new coaching staff, all these changes, all this new personnel, that would be encouraging. It really would be very, very encouraging. And I don't think that people around the league would really be able to look at that and dismiss as a fluke situation. So yeah, if they hang in there, that could be good things coming for the Giants this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back on here and break it all down next week. Giants Steelers Monday night, 7:15 kickoff Eastern time. Dan, enjoy the games.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a good week, and hopefully I come back next week and eat some crow, but we'll see.
That would be fun for Giants fans.
It certainly would.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Giants Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.